about our Christmas time, just remember that we'll remember as we've lit our candle of hope at our first Advent Christmas. Listen, Christmas, can you believe Christmas? Can you believe it? Christmas is on a Sunday. See, it's not that I can't. Christmas is on a Sunday. So that Sunday morning, we won't have Sunday school. We'll just come here. We'll have our Christmas service, no evening service. But we'll meet together on Christmas morning, 11 o'clock. What a great time. We're going to have a candlelight service Christmas Eve. So a lot of good things. That's what Christmas is about, man, worshiping and getting together. And so a lot of exciting things. Our first candle represents the candle of hope. I've already talked about that. And so the hope that Christ is coming. We know that He's came in the form of a baby, that He was crucified, but He's coming again. Christ is coming again in the hope of His second coming. And so what a glorious time as we think about that. Well, today, though, we're going to back into Romans chapter 8. We'll be looking at 5 through 13. And so the title of our message today, to be or not to be. I know, I want us to think about that. I know that's the opening phrase of William Shakespeare's Hamlet, the third act, where Hamlet is contemplating to be or not to be, contemplating life or death. He's actually thinking about avenging the murder of his father against his uncle and stepdad and new king Claudius. And so that the thoughts of him contemplating to be or not to be, I want us to keep that in mind today because we're going to transfer that over to our scriptures today. I couldn't help it as I was studying it. This kept coming. To be or not to be, that's the question. Are we lost or are we saved? To be or not to be in the family of God. And we'll look at that today. If you remember, Paul was struggling in chapter 7. Aren't you glad when we study through the book that you can see the context of the scripture so much better? We see that chapter 7, he was struggling with that sin nature that he still had, and to that point that he was saying, the things I want to do, I don't do. And so he continued. And then the last time that we were looking in Romans 8 through 4, he had learned that what he couldn't do, Christ could do in him through the Holy Spirit. If you remember, he made that statement that the law of the Spirit of life of Christ was in him. And so he didn't have to be, no longer did he have to be controlled by that sin nature. And so for us to say, I couldn't help it, if you're a child of God, is a lie. And that's for us to keep in mind. And so he's talking about that spirit, and it enables him to meet those requirements of the law that he talked about, that moral law that God's given us, and that the law wasn't thrown away, but that Christ fulfilled the law. And that spirit helps us to keep that law. And so he's getting to the point now where we're at in 8, 5 through 13. He's talking about a person will either walk in the flesh or they'll either walk in the spirit. There are two people in the world today. I don't care how many different ethnic groups is the best way to put it. I don't care how, where you fall there, socioeconomic. There's two people, lost or saved. That's it. Period. And so we'll see that to be or not to be. And so he's going to bring that out. So to be or not to be is truly the question of the hour. Are we lost or are we saved? We need to answer that question today. Why? Because just like the candle of hope, again, reminds us that Jesus came as a babe, he could come this morning. Do you believe that? This morning he could come back. And so to be or not to be is the question. Are you lost or are you saved? You're one of those two this morning. No in between. And so let's look at some principles that will help us to answer the questions this morning if we're lost or are we saved. And so I want us to look at these things this morning. First, I want us to see being lost, verses 5 through 8 of Romans chapter 8. Let's stand to our feet, if we will. Let's stand at our feet to reverence God's Word. Romans chapter 8, looking at verse 5, the Word of God says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But to those who are in the flesh, but You are not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if the Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Let's pray. Father, thank you for just a few minutes in your word. I pray that your word will go forth. And you'll touch our lives right where we're at. That we answer that question, to be or not to be. Are we a child of God or are we not? This morning can be answered. And I pray that you'll be glorified in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. First, I want us to think being lost. Verses 5 through 8. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You say, what are we talking about? The unsaved person is dominated by the sinful nature. He lives or he walks according to the flesh in all things. Doesn't know you. Do we not gasp when we look on and we turn on our TV set and how many times do we say, I can't believe they do that. I can't believe the world is this way. Listen, the people that are dominated, that live in sin, that's all they know. Do we understand that this morning? They have no parameters to guide them. They have no spirit to guide them. Right and wrong is relative. It has to do with whoever you are or what you think is right. And that's the world that you live in. And so we can see these things manifested every day. They live for themselves. Has it been so long? I can tell you that it ain't been that long. As a lost man, that's the way I live. What, you live for yourself. It's all about you. It's about your ego. It's about your pride. A person of the world does not pursue the things of God. They just don't. You know what? When I was lost, I did what I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. And we pride ourselves on that. Let's be honest. We Americans pride ourselves on we do what we want to do. We have these rights. And yet I want you to know something, that's a mark of the flesh. When we do whatever we want to do and never consider the things of God and what He desires for us. God, you know what? God wasn't in my, He wasn't in my thinking. Oh, I might have thought about Him every now and then. But life wasn't about pleasing God. Life was about pleasing me. Having fun. Satisfying what I wanted to do. But those, He said, I like this because He keeps giving you this opposites. And He says, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Here's He's saying, on the other hand, the saved person, you know what, is dominated by the things of the Spirit. Their life, they're given over. God's not just this thought, but He's a consideration in everything in the decision. And you know what that we do? A person that lives for Christ longs to please Him. Longs to please Christ. Of course, we saw that in chapter 7 where Paul was talking about, yes, there's this struggle, this ongoing struggle, and if we're not careful, that we see that and we think, hey, that's just normal being human being. We're going to struggle with these things. How many times have we said that? Oh, that's just being human. And that's true, but listen, the Scripture tells us that there's something that supersedes being human when God deposits His Holy Spirit in us. He gives us everything we need to overcome our humanness. He gives us His Holy Spirit to guide us. He gives us His blessed Word to show us. Wow. He gives us everything that we need to overcome that battle that goes on within us. You know, your bent is, and when I say your bent's either towards the flesh, pleasing yourself, or your bent is pleasing God. And the things of God. And so it kind of plays out what we are or who we are. Verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. The unsaved person has a different practice because they're in a different state, a different condition. He is dead in sin. This produces a different lifestyle, and the result is spiritual death. Listen to what Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of mind, and were by nature children of wrath." At one time, he said, we all were that. We all understood. He said, this is what we are before Christ. Children of wrath. That's the reason why that we share the gospel. That's the reason we take the gospel. Why? Because I don't know about you, but as a child, I was once a child of wrath. Now I'm a child of God. I owe, here's the deal, I owe God a great gratitude. And He's given me and He's commissioned me to take that good news, that gospel out to a world that does not have their children of wrath. Did you realize what that understands? What does the wrath of God look like? Look at the cross. The wrath of God was poured out upon the Son for, and as we enter into this Christmas season, we get all gooey and mushy about that baby, don't we? Oh, yeah. But He grew up to be a man that died on a cross. He came to die for us. For our sins. The wrath of God was poured out upon Him, a brutal death on the cross. That's what the wrath of God looks like on the children of disobedience. Ephesians tells us that's what we all were. The unsaved mind pursues the things of the flesh. It can only sin. It can only sin. Why? Because it does not know the Spirit of God. But He says, but to be spiritual minded is what? One's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The saved person pursues the things of the Holy Spirit and experiences the life of God and peace. Do you realize that 80%, you ready for this? 80% of Americans think they're going to heaven. 80%. That's 330 million. You're talking about 264 million people in this country believe they are going to heaven. What's the disconnect there? Everybody's going to heaven. If everybody's going to heaven, that means they're a child of God. Are they 264 million children of God in this country today? Have you seen in the last little bit, I think it's raised up its head, that we're a divided nation, okay? We're divided. Most of the people, here's the deal, what they do is most of them believe that they love God. What kind of God is it that they're loving when they don't love their fellow man? That's the crisis that we have today is everybody's saved. Listen, I dare say probably everybody in this room thinks they're saved. Hey, we're all saved. Then why are we not making a difference? I don't want to. If I could talk you out of your salvation, by the way, something's wrong. Okay? I'm not trying to talk anybody out of their salvation. I'm just wanting everybody to have a gut check this morning. When you leave here, you need to know that you're either a child of God or that you need to be. You don't need to leave here without receiving Christ. Why? Could be the last time you ever walk out these doors. And we need to be sure that we have Christ in us. Why? Because that's the only hope of glory. True peace only belongs to the children of God. The only peace that we can truly have is knowing we're in right standing with the God. That we can face death. Not that we're looking forward to it, but that we can face it knowing it's already been conquered on the cross. We can face an eternity forever and ever in a place called heaven because of what Christ has done for us. That's the only peace that we can have this morning. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity or an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let me read that again. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That means if we're not a child of God, I don't care how much that we say, yeah, God's so happy with me. He is not. If we're in the flesh, if we're not a child of God, we can never please Him. Man, they're having fun back there. Y'all guys need to do the same thing. It's Bobby Lee, right? Yeah. The unsaved person is an enemy of God and is alienated from Him. Many will say that they believe in God and they're sincere. I have spoken to people that live a lifestyle that's contrary to God's Word. Totally contrary. Spoken to them and saying, you need Christ. I have Christ, they said. I said, how can you have Christ and live opposite of His Word? Oh, they think that's so offensive. They think you're judging them. I'm not judging anybody. God's Word stands forever and ever. And if I, how dare me not to love them enough to share the truth? Is that really, do I really love them? If I say, well, just let them go ahead with a Russian roulette and a pistol and spinning, constantly spinning and clicking. Does I really love them for me to do that? Yeah, but yet we buy into that. We buy into that saying, oh, we won't bother nobody because we don't want them to think that we're judging. You don't judge anybody. You reach out in love and you tell people the truth of God's Word. And I said, you need Christ. Stomped off, told me, hey, I've got Christ. I can't believe that you would even say such a thing. And our lifestyle contradictory to this right here. How is that? Because here's the deal. People love God, but they love a God of their imagination. They love a God that they've created to fit into whatever they want to do. That's the God that they've created. Listen, what kind of God is it? What kind of God is it that I love and I care about that I think is going to get me through eternity forever and ever in a place called heaven, but it can't change my life here on earth? What kind of salvation is that? Is that a salvation that I'm trusting my eternity on this God, this relationship with Him, this God that I've made up, that I say that I love? I live contrary to His Word. I do anything that I want to do, and yet it won't even change my life here. What kind of God is that? Is that the power of God that dwells within us? The power of God says it will change you into what He desires for us to be. We won't live by the flesh to fulfill it, but we'll live by the Spirit of God to please Him. That's what it says. That's what Paul's saying right here. That's what he's telling us. The question is, am I trying to please God? Am I trying to please myself? That's what verse says. It says that they could never, or verse 8 says they can never please God. They may be good, kind, nice, even religious, and please men, but they're not pleasing God. They're so nice. They're so, this person, whatever, they're so kind. Oh, they have good manners. Is that what makes us right with God? These are manifestations that can come from being in a right relationship, but that's not what makes us right. It's salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, period. And so that's being lost. Next, I want us to look at 9 through 11. Being saved. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying the Spirit that dwells in us is life. It's life in us. And he's saying one day being saved, but he says, verse 9, that you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. He's clearly stating to the Romans Christians, listen, you're not of yourself, you're of Christ. And he said, I'm going to give you some indicators here, these distinguishing characteristics of a true Christian, which sets them apart from unbelievers. And what is it? It's the Holy Spirit of God. You say, hey, can you see the Holy Spirit? Can you see the Holy Spirit? You can't see the wind, but let me tell you, I was sitting out in the deer stand yesterday. I promise you, I felt the effects of it. I like to froze to death. You know what? When you don't bring enough clothes, that's what happens. It feels like it's cutting right through you. But I couldn't see it. I could not see that wind, but I could feel the effects of it. You can't see the Holy Spirit either. You can see the effects of it. You say, what does it come out in? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit that comes out. Oh, you can't see the Holy Spirit in somebody, but you're going to see the fruit of it come out of them. Why? Because what's inside is going to come to the top. Always. Always. And he's letting them know this, that, hey, they're not... we're not living according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And he's saying that distinguishing difference. And I want you to know that it's manifest in believers, and those who are saved can never be the same again. God, why can't we ever be the same? God's taken up residence in us now. We all know what it feels like. Do you know what it feels like to be around unbelievers? You know, you get the drift I'm talking about? Guess what? They talk a little different than we do. They act a little different than we do. They should. They don't. Here we are. That's what I'm saying. Better check up. When we're around unbelievers, they talk a little different. They act a little different. They process a little different. There's not this kindred spirit. You say, what are you talking about? It's a different wavelength. They're on a different wavelength. Sandy and I have got to travel, and I've talked about meeting folks overseas and in Africa or in India that you can't speak their language, but you know that there's this kindred spirit. And we just, you know what? I'll never forget Pastor Santos in Mexico. Man, he had Jesus all over him. Couldn't speak a bit of English, and all I could do is, un poquito español, mi esposa es muy bonita. I could say a little thing, necesito el baño. Where's the bathroom? My wife's beautiful. That's about all I could say, right? That does a long way in reaching a brother, right? Listen, I could sense Jesus all over him. Man, I just like to be around him. Why? It was that kindred spirit that we had. He had the Holy Spirit of God. Guess what? The Holy Spirit don't mean that he's going to speak English. I hope that don't fool anybody. He don't have to speak. He doesn't have to have my same color. But he has the same spirit. He's my brother. He's my brother. Why? Because the same blood, we're blood kin. Blood of Jesus Christ. And look forward to the day. In fact, Revelation tells us there that there's every tribe, every tongue, every nation is going to be represented. We're all around the throne. You know what we're doing? We're not looking at, well, this group's over here because we stand out. We're looking at the King. And we're singing praises under His name. And we're worshiping Him forever and ever and ever. He's talking about, man, this kindred, this wavelength that you have. And I'm not talking about this ooey-gooey feeling. I'm talking about the Spirit of God in a believer. And there's something about bringing you comfort when you're around believers. That's the reason I like to come to church on Sunday. Why? Because I'm with my family. I face the devil out every day, out in the world. And I see the world and how it is. And I'm around unbelievers, which, praise God, don't miss that opportunity. When you sense they're an unbeliever, love them enough to share the gospel. Love them enough to care to reach out in Jesus' name. It's not there just to sense that, ooh, that's unbelievers. I ain't going to have nothing to do with them. What did Jesus do? Come to seek and save that which is lost. That's who He rubbed shoulders with. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Here we stand. Because He cared enough for us. Look, verses 10 and 11. He says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This body is still sinful. This body is all, it's got to be redeemed one of these days, okay? I have the Holy Spirit of God, but this old body's going to the ground, all right? Turn into dust. Dust you shall, ashes and dust you were made out of, dust you shall return. This old body's going to die, but you know what? It's going to be redeemed one day. Paul says that here. It's going to be redeemed. My spirit to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. And one day my spirit and my old body is going to be put back together. It's called the resurrection day. And we've all heard about it. There's a resurrection morning that's coming. And Paul's saying that same spirit, that's the deposit that lives within us, that Holy Spirit of God that He's placed in us is that deposit, that guarantee that one day this will happen. You know what? I believe it with all my heart. I believe it enough that I've given my life to sharing that same truth. I believe it's the thing that can fix and help. And if you're out there groping around and you're looking for meaning and purpose in this world this morning, I want you to know that that is the purpose of life. I believe it's the purpose of life. Why? I've tried everything else. I didn't grow up in a lily-white Christian church. I'm so glad and a family. I didn't grow up in that. I wish I did. Don't get me wrong. And the ones that have, praise God, what a great testimony. But I grew up in the world and trying the things of the world. And I want you to know that they lead to nothingness. You're talking to somebody that's tried it. Oh, you can have fun for a while, but you have to lay down and you have to face the voices that say it's all life's about. But when the Spirit of God came in, when somebody cared enough about me to invite me, an old heathen that you wouldn't want to go to church with you, okay? Why? Because they knew what you were like out in public, but he cared enough to ask me to go to church with them. And I went and received Jesus Christ, and here I stand before you today saying, praise God, if he can save me, he can save anybody today. He's still seeking and saving that which is lost. And we said that today, Donnie, in our Sunday school. You know, one of these days when that last name comes in, it's over. It's over. This body is still sinful, but the Spirit's working this spiritual life and righteousness on the inside. And you know what it's going to produce in me? This progressive sanctification in us. It's not just getting saved and getting satisfied and say, well, I'm ready now. It's growing in the Lord daily. That's the hardest part to get across. And you hear me hammering on it constantly. Progressive sanctification. It's not just kicking back and being satisfied and being complacent. A lot of us, that's where we're at. We just want to, hey, get on by. We got our fire and church. Jesus is all good. I'm saved and that's it. No, that's not what it's about. It's growing to be more Christ-like daily, yearly. We're facing the end of 2016. Can you believe it? I had to say it. 2016's almost over. Have you grown in Christ? Have you? Have you grown in your relationship? Or are you still just, hey, just fat and happy right where you're at? Progressive sanctification. Paul says that this is going to come out in me and live. The Spirit's not only a guarantee of progressive victory in the future over sin, but it's a guarantee that the final victory over sin, that the Christians will receive this new body, they'll be resurrected in a future and to go to heaven to be with God forever and ever where there is no sin. There is no fallenness. There is none of this garbage of the world. But that we're saved forever and ever. How long is forever and ever? You can't even grasp it. We just nibble on the edges of it. Because of what Christ has done for us. Being saved. Lastly, though, let's look. Being steadfast. Verses 12 through 13. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. He's saying, so then, brethren, we're not under obligation anymore. Not to the flesh, but to live according to it. In other words, you have a choice. We're not debtors to sin or under obligation to obey it. Why? Because God has judged the sin nature and He now dwells in the believer and guarantees us progressive and ultimate sanctification. He dwells in us now. We don't have to be overcome with our weaknesses or our sin. Don't buy into that lie this morning. You struggle with a sin, you can overcome it in Jesus' name. For he says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. This is a warning to all those who are pretending, professing, but may not be saved. A person merely professing Christ but does not have the works to back it up will spiritually die. You could say all day long, I have Jesus. But if His Holy Spirit is not in you, you don't have. You have a mind knowledge of Christ and you've missed 18. You've heard that old saying, you've missed heaven by 18 inches because your heart is still of the world. He said, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. What is your life? How's it marked out? Verse 13, but if by Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's absolutely and necessary and possible for the Christian to fight sin. The true Christian has the responsibility to put to death the evil passions and desires of his sinful nature. Can't say, I can't. Is God not capable? Is God not able? The sin nature has been judged, so the cravings must be put to death. if he does not kill, if that person does not kill sin, sin may well kill him. Yielding to the Holy Spirit is the only way to overcome the sin in our life. To be or not to be, that is the question. Are we child of God or aren't we? Listen to these applications and we'll be done. How is your walk this morning? Say, what are you talking about? Your walk, your life. What are the markers? What's the spiritual markers in your life today? Is it, can you see the things of God? Can you see the Word of God being lived out? Can you see the Spirit of God being lived out in you? Or is it the things of the world, the things of the flesh? What drives you? Is it career, money, relationships, fulfillment? What drives you? How is your walk this morning? Tells us if we are or are not a child of the King. Number two, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that the Spirit dwells within you? The Spirit of God testifies, it says on over in Romans 8, we'll get to that. The Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that He lives there? You say, well, I'm not real sure. Listen, you better be sure. You better make it sure. Why? Eternity counts on it. Eternity counts on not just a mind knowledge, but an intimate knowledge of Christ. You see, our problem with the Bible Belt, it's great to live in the Bible Belt, but our problem with the Bible Belt is we've become so inoculated with the spiritual things of God. So much of the Bible, it's like a little shot, inoculation, that we become immune to the Spirit of God when He comes knocking. When the Spirit of God comes knocking, don't turn Him away. No question this morning. No, without a doubt. A shadow of a doubt that the Spirit dwells within you. And lastly, how can you share these truths? Listen. You didn't get saved just to be satisfied and complacent. You didn't get saved just to go through life and holler, I'm a Christian, and not do anything with it. Okay? If your Christianity is that deep, you're missing out on the abundant life that God and Christ said that you could have in Him in John 10:10. It could be 2017 could be a banner year for you. You get some things straight in your life. You just say, you know what? God, how can I share the truths that you give me? How can I share? Help me to start seeing people, two people, lost or saved. Doesn't matter about color. Don't matter about background. Don't matter about where this or that. Lost or saved. And if I don't know the Spirit of God dwells in them, then I try with all my might just to love them and share the good news of Jesus Christ. What are we going to do? The candle of hope is lit. There's a hope. Baby, we're going to celebrate the baby's coming. But also the return. There's a hope He could return today. Are you ready? If you did, let's stand on our feet. Linda, come and play. Just like this candle. How's your light shining in your life? Is the light of Christ there? Is it shining forth? Do you know that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? They start playing, and Brittany's going to lead us in a song. I want you to be thinking about something. I want you to do business with God right now. Let's all close our eyes for just a moment. As she plays, I want you to ask yourself, do I know for sure that I have the Spirit of God that dwells within me right now? Answer that question right now. And if you don't, all you have to do is say, Lord, this morning I'm putting this to rest. I'm asking and praying and repenting of my sin and saying, Jesus Christ, come and dwell within my life now. I want to nail this down right now. If you know that you're a searcher, you know, hey, you know what? I know this Christian life. I know what Brother David's talking about. And I see the Scriptures. But you know what? I'm just missing something. I'm missing something. It could be this Jesus that you're missing. Don't miss out on it. Or it could be that you know that you're not living according to His Word and you just need to say today, Lord, I need to get this right in my life. I need to get this right. What is it that God's saying in your life? I want you to answer that question this morning. As Brittany sings, we're not going to sing long. We're not going to tarry long. You respond to the Holy Spirit of God, whatever He said to you this morning.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed.
What about you? Something's here. What about you? You gonna walk off the same as way that you came? You gonna just be satisfied? Come just as you are. Don't let the devil tell you you need to get this right, that right, whatever. Lay it down at the altar. God will get it right. Last verse could be for you.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears within.
Listen to me. You prayed that prayer with me this morning. And you didn't want to come forward. That's all right. Just let me know. I promise you this. You're going to let somebody know the Spirit of God dwells within you. If He came inside and He saved you, you're going to let somebody know. Something like that can't happen without somebody knowing the difference in you, okay? I love you. Anytime that I can help you spiritually, on your wall. I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want us to become a force out here in our community, wherever we are, on the job, at school, whatever we're doing, that people say, you know what? Not that they go to South Fort Baptist Church, that ain't really what matters, but that they represent Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing that you could ever be said of. Alright? I want you to know that. I'm gonna finish off here. Linda, thank you. Danny closes in prayer, if you would.